You're listening to a podcast from 702.
All right, let's bring in Vusithemba Ndima, who is the Deputy Director General for Heritage Promotion and Preservation at the Department of Arts and Culture. Just basic questions so that we can understand what this 22 million rand project is all about. Vusithemba, thank you so much for making time. Good morning.
Good morning, Clement, and good morning to the listeners.
I want us to start with the feasibility study for this project. How much did it cost?
Well, the feasibility study cost the department 1.7 million, right?
And what went into that feasibility study? What justified that cost?
Look, first and foremost, they had to do the need analysis of whether indeed, a project of this nature was necessary, whether it was within the mandate of the Department of Sport, Arts and Culture, whether it's something that can be done in South Africa and create job opportunities in South Africa. And also the site, they had to go and just check a number of sites to check which was going to be the most suitable site. And of course, they had to also just look at the kind of work that would need to happen when that particular project happened. And of course, some estimates in terms of budget. And I want to underscore the point, Clement, that these are estimates that the study gave us. So that was the level of work that needed to be done. Also, this deep analysis or geotechnical work, looking at all these sites and looking at the soil and the rock type, whether they can carry, or the soil type can carry the structure that is being envisaged. So
okay.
That's the level of work that went into the feasibility study.
Okay, so, I mean, how big a team was involved in this feasibility study? I'm trying to understand how we got to the 1.7 million rand. So you spoke about the research that was done. Is this feasible? What is there a need for us to have a legacy project like this? You've spoken about the geotechnical work. I mean, did you have a team of 10 engineers working on that? Was there excavation that was done? I'm trying to understand how big a job and responsibilities there was that is now justifying 1.7 million rand being spent on this team of people doing research and visiting the site and doing this geotechnical work.
Look, I cannot give you now, but there is a company that got appointed, and of course, as you would know, you appoint a company and then it actually then gives responsibility to various technicians, for instance, people who will be able to do those geotechnical surveys. But I cannot give you, but what I can give you in terms of the estimates of job opportunities, which I would even think that they are conservative estimates of how many people could get employment if this project takes off. We're looking at about 143 jobs all in all, where during the construction, we're looking at 65. Looking at the offsite construction, which would be looking at about 25 people, and then the transport all those, it's about 18 people. Engineering and design, you're looking at 12. And then looking at the management of the site, you're looking at 8. But of course, the indirect jobs that would arise out of this particular project, we're looking at about 15 jobs, which includes tour guiding, the cleaning of the site, security, retail, because this should be a site that is alive, where people visit and really okay. Enjoy themselves and even be able to even have an aerial view of Pretoria and other parts of Gauteng.
Okay. So my understanding so far, and I want you now to explain the project itself, right? This monument flag. My understanding is it's going to be 120 meters tall, with the cloth flag being 10 meters by 15 meters. This is what the minister was saying last night.
Yes.
Just explain to us then. I mean, are we talking here about a structure that is going to hoist this flag? Because I don't think that's how much you spend on a flag. I'm imagining here that a lot of the costs are going to into building the structure that's going to hoist this flag. So explain to us how big that structure is going to be and how much it's going to cost out of this 22 million rand.
Look, Clement, I'm saying that these are estimates. And also, I just want to clarify something. We've done the feasibility study. Now, the next step is going to be putting up bids for people to design this, because they will have to design and build. Now, there's still going to be that bidding process where people are going to then present this structure. And, of course, one of the things that we're going to be looking at here is not just that, because sometimes people just think that it's just going to be that pole without any aesthetics and the polyester, it's not a cloth, because it's not going to be a cloth in this case, because you want also durability. But you also want the aesthetics of this thing so that, it's beautiful. It's something that you can look at, but also it has got this beautiful narrative of where we come from as a country, but also as a symbol that marks the break from apartheid, the break from colonial segregation. We want people to look at this all the time and remember where this country comes from. And of course, the victory that we scored in 1994. And this should be a symbol also that overlooks all the symbols that have been there in this country. Most of the symbols that I'm talking about are not good symbols.
Yeah.
Are not symbols that are inclusive. In fact, they are symbols that were deported in a way. So this is one uniting symbol that is an embodiment of the values of our constitution.
And
whoever designs this thing must actually have that vision and that imagination.
Yeah, and I don't think you and I will disagree on the need for us to have these symbols that describe and demonstrate our journey, right, in this country, given our context and our history. I don't think you can even argue whether it's important for us to have these projects that memorialize our democracy, as I said. But right now, and I'll ask you at a later stage about whether or not we should be doing this now. But what I want to understand is, based on the feasibility study, when they're telling you that we could spend about 22 million rand, what did they base that on in terms of the structure itself that is still going to be built and the aesthetics? I'm asking that because I want the listeners to understand, because often people talk about the flag because they think you're just going to hoist this 100 meter or so flag, but there's a structure that's going to be built that's going to be holding this flag. So based on that 22 million rand, what were you told in that feasibility study about how big this structure is going to be that's going to hoist that flag?
Okay. Clement, the way you are asking questions, we are still going to go for the beat. Now you want us to start revealing information, but that's fine. Let me just try and explain this. First and foremost, the main cost drivers for this construction phase, first is going to be full geotechnical investigation of the site that has been identified. Now you're looking at foundation concrete and reinforcing steel. You're looking at the flat pole steel and fabrication. You're looking at logistics. You're looking at crane hire, site establishment, operational infrastructure, of course, consulting fees. So those are estimates. And I'm sure that, Clement, you do not want me to be exact, because I cannot be exact at this stage. These are just estimates. We will get the real figures when we have gone out and called for bids for people who will design and ultimately build this particular infrastructure.
So am I correct then to say that as the department, you don't know yet how big the structure is going to be that's going to hoist this flag? All you know is you may have to spend about 22 million rand. You're still going to get the designs. At this stage, the 20 million rand is just an estimate, but what is it based on? Because I imagine even if you estimate that it's going to cost 11 million rand to build a structure, you're going to say that structure is going to be 130 meters tall. In this context, the 22 million rand, when you were basing that in the feasibility study, what was the structure, right, that you were basing the 22 million rand on?
I think that right from the beginning we did indicate, for instance, the height of the flag is 120 meters. I think that should begin to give you the scale of this particular project. And then the second part is the flag cloth, which is 10 meter by 15 meter. That also should give you a scale of this project. But of course, you also need to look at the structural integrity of this. And that is why, in my response to you, I've clearly indicated that you need to look at what kind of foundation, what kind of reinforcements you're going to be. So basically, the estimates have been based on that. Always feasibility studies, they do estimates. They do estimations because they cannot say this is going to be. But of course, when you then start taking out the project for people to compete, then they would be now becoming more detailed in their approach and then beginning to tell you each and every square meter, each and every, the quantity, the bill of quantity. So we are not yet there, Clement. So that's the process that we would need to embark upon going forward.
But we already know that this flag is going to be lighting at night and during the day. We already have those details, but not just the other details.
That's the vision that we have. What's the point
okay.
of having such a massive structure and at night you can't see anything?
Okay.
So those are the general things that you can talk about.
But how much?
There are other details that you can't then get into, but I think that should suffice to really just say these are the things that we are basing our points on, or even the budget, the estimated budget.
How much is it going to cost for the upkeep and to maintain this monument?
Look, that's information that we don't have at hand, but given the use of the material, which is durable, you know, in terms of the pole and in terms of the flag, it's something that we will be able to manage. As I speak to you, we have got about 14 museums that are under the National Department of Sport.
Yeah.
Structure gets maintained, but what you need to ensure is that you need to make it a point that is an attractive kind of infrastructure. It's going to be user-friendly infrastructure that's going to attract the attention of the public, South Africans, because sometimes people always talk about tourists from abroad. No, first and foremost, it should be the South Africans that should valorize this flag, because it's their flag. It's about their identity, newly found identity in 1994.
Yeah. Here's the problem, though. The South Africans that you speak about, most of them have said, we don't understand why you're spending 22 million rand on this legacy project right now. And I think you would agree, Vusitemba, that even with good initiatives like this one, they require deep political reflection and thought, and even the buy-in from the public. And you cannot claim at this stage that you've got the buy-in from the public. You cannot claim that the public understands the justification to be spending 22 million rand on this project right now, given the other greater needs and the socio-economic realities in the country at this moment.
Look, you know, let me just indicate this. Look, one is aware of the greater need within the South African society. We know the job, you know, the unemployment that is there, the poverty levels that are there. But I just think that, Clement, let's remember that, you know, government departments have got different responsibilities and mandates. Now, this department has a specific mandate, which is assigned by the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, a mandate that arises out of the TRC recommendations on symbolic reparation that you will not just only give monetary reparations to the South Africans. In fact, it won't even suffice. But that there will be a need to try and heal the wounds through building commemorative structures. So that's the responsibility of this department.
But the department also now, has a responsibility to ensure sports development, to ensure that it helps struggling artists. Right now, there are artists that have struggled as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. You've made money available for some of them. Not all of them have benefited. That's why we've got this concept of reprioritizing the funds. And I can think of many reasons you can take the 22 million rand and assist, whether it's the artists that are struggling or you are ensuring that you are paying sports coaches, right? In rural areas for sports development, or you are having theater plays, because for the last 2 years, we haven't been able to have that, and artists have been struggling. And in that way, you also not just upkeep the artists, right, and bring them back to the fore, but you're creating employment as well. So that's the other responsibility that you have as the Arts and Culture Department. You could shelve this project and say, it's good, it's valuable, but in this moment, we've got other greater needs that we need to look at. We can look at this project once we've covered some of these tracks.
Clement, things that do not work that way. There's no way that you would say now you have stopped this, you close shop in this particular branch of the department to take all the resources to the other. There are provisions in this Department of Sport, Arts and Culture. There are various branches that deal with different kinds of work. What you are talking about, there is a program that deals with artists in this department. There is a branch that specifically focuses on the sport. This particular branch that I'm heading currently, it deals with a wide range of issues. You have just focused on the flag. You are not talking about 1.5 billion rand that we spend on the library infrastructure in this country through the conditional grant, that we are building new libraries in spaces that have never had libraries pre-1994. 1.5 billion goes to that particular project. You're not talking about that. So you're talking about 22 million. And I'm just
because it's the ridiculousness of it, Vusitemba. I mean, we can't fault you. We can't fault you for building libraries. That is needed because.
But why are you faulting me for building monuments?
Because this is not the time for it. Because there are artists that are struggling that haven't been assisted by the Arts and Culture Department.
I'm saying to you, Clement, there are programs and branches that deal with that.
They don't have sufficient funding.
To actually implement projects that are commemorative. And you can say today, what would be the right... There will be no right time, Clement. And I think that we should do it, and we should do it in a much more responsible way, but we should ensure that this particular potent symbol of our democracy, our monument to democracy, actually is built for posterity.
Let me ask this as we wrap up, Vusitemba. How do you justify, right? Because you've spoken about the other branches that are responsible for other responsibilities, and the argument I'm making to you is even the branch that's responsible for helping artists, it doesn't have enough funding. That's why not many of the artists were reached, even with the assistance that the Arts and Culture Department was giving through that funding. And the argument I'm making is there is a principle in government that you can reprioritize funds. You can take the 22 million rand that's meant to build a legacy project and say, we will budget for this next year. But right now we've got artists that we haven't reached many of them. Right now we need to start improving in the sports development in rural areas. And we're going to take that 22 million rand and spend it on those projects. And then next year, we will focus on that legacy project. So how do you justify spending 22 million rand on this project and yet you've got artists that were not reached because you didn't have enough funds to reach as many artists as possible who were affected by the COVID-19 pandemic?
Let's talk about this, Clement. You know, as you speak to me now, we have got a program which is called Mzansi Golden Economy, which makes provision for artists. There's budget for that. and people should apply. There's an open call. There will be an open call for that. And so I cannot, therefore, when there's budget for artists, then stop the project that actually has got its own merit. Because now I'm saying, no, okay, all the money must go to artists and athletes.
All right.
So when we budget, when we do our budget, collaboratively as the department, we identify and we know that there will be this kinds of resources that will be allocated for athletes and then also for commemorative work.
All right, Vusithe Mandima, I think I've given you enough time to respond to that question. Thank you for coming through. I'm just out of time. I really appreciate your time. Vusithe Mandima is the Deputy Director General for Heritage Promotion and Preservation at the Department of Arts and